Father God, we come before you, continuing our intercessory prayers, preparing our hearts to hear from you. I pray that each one of us here would hear your voice, the voice of your Holy Spirit, and not the voice of a man. I thank you and praise you for our dependence upon your Holy Spirit to reveal you to us, each one individually, for where we're at and where you want to bring us. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So we're going to continue our study in the Gospel of John. And when you read the Word of God, there's two things, especially the words of Jesus, there's two things that you should keep in mind. One, he's speaking to a specific audience in the scriptures. So there's parts of it that apply to those specific individuals. Then, because the Bible is written to each one of us, there are also things in here that apply to each one of us that are specific for our lives. So we're going to go through this portion the first time, just going through whom Jesus is speaking to. Remember the turning point in the Gospel of John, from his public ministry to his private ministry. First, he talked about our relationship with him, our relationship with one another, and our relationship with the world. That was John's Gospel, chapter 15. All the way through that, he was showing us what is reality. If we're experienced or not, that's another story. But it's still true. When we get to John's Gospel in chapter 16, chapter breaks are there because that's what the author put them there. But I think that 15:26 should be part of 16. So I'm going to start John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 26. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. And you will bear witness also, because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you, that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcasts from the synagogue. But an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think he's doing it as an offering service to God. These things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. But these things I have spoken unto you, that when the hour comes, that you may remember that I told you of them, and these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. So you can see how Jesus is speaking specifically to the disciples. A few of the things he says are concerning the disciples only. Remember, the disciples at this point believed, but they weren't saved. You couldn't get saved until after the crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you couldn't know God except when the Holy Spirit came to indwell you. So they were thinking on the plane of earth, because that's all they knew. They knew they loved him. They spent 3.5 years with him, and he's being tender with each one of them, telling them what will come. So let's look at that in that aspect. When the Helper comes that I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. And you will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you that you may keep from stumbling. They will make you outcasts and cast you out of the synagogue. That actually happened. It doesn't happen to us. Number one, we're not Jews. We don't get cast out of the synagogue. There's a spiritual meaning behind this, but let's first look at the disciples. The synagogue was the central social location. It was spiritual, but it was also social. If you were cast out of the temple, that means you couldn't buy or sell, you couldn't trade, people wouldn't speak to you. That doesn't happen today. Number one, we don't have a synagogue. Number two, we don't get cast out of it. But it was relevant to them. So Jesus, with his tender heart, he's saying to these 11 men, because he's talking personally, you were with me from the beginning, and you will be witnesses of me. When the Holy Spirit comes, that's what's going to make the difference. So along that line, but now, verse 5, I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Now, this was their close friend. I mean, the Bible was very limited on the conversations that Jesus had with these disciples. He was with them 24/7. How many conversations he had with each one of these men that are not recorded? Because they're not for our benefit. They were for those men specifically. Just like when the Holy Spirit speaks to us specifically, it's for us. These men were sorrowful. Oh, Jesus is going to die. He's not going to be here anymore. And Jesus says to them, but I tell you the truth, that it is to your advantage that I go away. For I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, shall not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him unto you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will no longer see me. Verse 11, and concerning judgment, because the rule of this world has been judged. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. So those are the disciples he was talking to. So picture yourself as one of these men that Jesus is personally speaking to about this. And he's telling you about all that's going to happen, will happen. In essence, it's a prophecy to them. Well, what's the spiritual significance between all of that and us? So let's look at it this time as we have the Holy Spirit. He lives within us. And let's look at it in that same fashion. So many assemblies, I'm not going to call them churches, there's only one church. So many assemblies, groups, or fellowships misunderstand the plan and the purpose of the Spirit in their lives. Some say it's a second blessing and you're going to speak in tongues and dance and tongues of fire are going to come out of your head and, you know, well, you're going to, snakes are going to bite you and you're not going to die, you know. So it's a misunderstanding of the Spirit. Others misunderstand the Spirit because they don't understand the Spirit's ministry in their lives. It's in their lives, but they don't yet have the understanding of that. So let's look at it from the position we have the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit's purpose within our lives? So let's look at it that way, starting at verse 26 of chapter 15. And when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. So the Holy Spirit's first purpose is to bear witness that Jesus is from the Father, that he's the Son of God. And you will bear witnesses because I have been with you from the beginning. Chapter 16, verse 1. These things I have spoken to you that you may be kept from stumbling. Every time the Holy Spirit speaks something to us, it's to keep us from stumbling. There's a purpose behind it. Watch out, there's going to trip. Well, if you didn't say that, I was going to trip. So Jesus is telling the church, the Holy Spirit's function, if you rely on him, if you're totally dependent upon him, as Jesus was dependent upon the Father in his earthly ministry. And let's think about that again for a minute. It always goes over and over and over again in my mind. Adam and Eve were created perfect, yet they sinned. They had perfect fellowship and communication in the cool of the day. They could be around Jesus naked and not even feel ashamed. It was a personal relationship. When we think about Jesus in his humanity, Jesus did not have an old sin nature. Why? Do we know why? Yes, we do. Because the sin nature is passed down by the man. Jesus didn't have a man involved in his birth. He had the Heavenly Father. Therefore, he had no sin nature. So Jesus, a perfect human being, totally God, yet totally man. In Philippians in chapter 2, he realized in the form of a man, he couldn't rely on his own understanding. He couldn't rely on his own intelligence, his own comprehension, because it was missing something. What was it missing? In the non-believer's life, it's missing the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' life, Jesus realized he had to be totally dependent upon the Father. Because as human beings, we think a certain way, and it's not the right way. No matter how good it is or how bad it is, it's not the right way. We need to be, as human beings, totally relying on the Holy Spirit. Spirit of truth is called. Not on our own intellect. So many a church misunderstands the purpose of the Spirit. And they operate, believers, in the natural plane, using their understanding, using their intellect to tell them what to do and what not to do. They look at the Bible as a rule book, telling you how to live and how not to live, rather than a love letter from the Father, from Jesus, to us, to reveal Jesus to each one of us through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the Bible. The Bible is not a set of rules and regulations. It is not a set of rules and regulations. If you interpret the Bible based on the human intellect, that's what it comes up with. Oh, I shouldn't do this, I should do that. Yeah. And so many churches miss the Holy Spirit's purpose. The Holy Spirit's purpose. Verse 4. But these things I have spoken to you, that when the hour comes, you remember that I have told them to you. And these things that you did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. The unbeliever can hear things about God as an unbeliever that when the Holy Spirit, if indeed he comes, will bring those things back to remembrance, all the way back to our childhood. There are things that are spoken to us by our parents, by our friends, grandparents, neighbors, teachers, coaches. Those things were from God, but we didn't understand him at that time. We understood him with our human intellect. When my father said, you know, you're an Italian, you're an American before you're an Italian, you're only going to speak English. I don't ever want to hear you speak an Italian word. That stuck in my head. It was part of what God used in the process of my salvation to bring me to salvation. It was said then, but when the Holy Spirit came, now I understood. Many things that we hear, even as believers, we are not at the place where those things are applicable to our lives. But they will. So I may hear something today that doesn't apply to me today. And then 2 years down the road, it's like, bing. Was that VA juice thing that... Wow, that's what that is. Yes. So everything that we take in from the Word of God through the preaching, reading, and fellowshipping may not be relevant in our lives today, but there'll come a time where the Holy Spirit will bring them back to remembrance. And that's what Jesus is saying. Don't have to worry about understanding the whole thing today. I mean, so many people try to know the whole Bible. And that's okay if that's your thing. I mean, you know what I mean? I like to play golf. That's my thing. But if you want to know the whole Bible, that's not a bad thing. But it's not eternal. It's only eternal when the Holy Spirit performs His ministry in our lives. So don't look at the Bible and try to interpret it based on my intellect. Rely on the Holy Spirit. That's the purpose. The Spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak anything that isn't truth. Verse 5. But now I'm going to Him who sent me. And none of you ask me where you're going. Because I have said these things, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage. Do we know that today? As you look at these disciples in their walk with the Lord, 3.5 years, 24/7, it's to your advantage that I go away. That advantage is what each and every one of us is experiencing today. Because He died, buried, and resurrected, He sent the Holy Spirit, who now lives within us. And that Holy Spirit's ministry to us is truth. But I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I did not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go away, I'll send Him to you. And what is His ministry? It's black and white. It's in the Bible. So many people miss it, but hopefully we're not going to miss it this morning. What is the Holy Spirit's ministry? Jesus says Himself, and He, the Holy Spirit, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. It's not our conscience that convicts us of sin. It's the Holy Spirit. Your conscience is not your friend after salvation. Pre-salvation, it's definitely your friend. Post-salvation, it is not your friend. Because your conscience can say, oh, you did a really good job, build you up in pride. Your conscience will say, you call yourself a Christian, you did that, you better do this, you better do that. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to convict of sin. Do I go to a brother and say, hey, you're sinning? Well, that's not my ministry. It's the Holy Spirit's ministry. Do you know people who are living in sin? We all do. Is it our place to go point them out? No, it is not. It's the Holy Spirit's place, not our place. So you see someone else, well, go to your brother if he offends you. Well, if that's what the Holy Spirit's telling you, then go. And if the Holy Spirit is telling you that, there will be fruit. There'll be a production of positive influence based on that meeting. But if you go to a brother or sister in your own conscience, and they look at you, they love you, and all of a sudden you say, forgive me because I hated you last week. Are they going to look at you the same? No, they're not. What do you mean you hated me last week? I thought we were friends. So we do things only when the Holy Spirit communicates to us that we should do it. It's not a set of rules and regulations. It's a movement of the Holy Spirit. So many fellowships, assemblies, misunderstand this. Oh, your brother sins, go again. If he sins, continue to sin, and he doesn't repent, bring the elders. If he doesn't do that, stand him up before the whole church and rebuke him. Well, okay, if that's the way you interpret the scriptures, that's up to you. I wouldn't want that done to me, because you can find sins in my life. I can tell you sins in my life that you should rebuke me for, that you should bring the elders and say, Eddie, stop that. And bring me before the church, say, this guy's sinning, he doesn't belong here. Well, if they take every person before the church that was sinning, there would be no church. Do you see what I mean? So the Holy Spirit's ministry to us concerning sin, he does have it in the believer's life, and the unbeliever's life, because they do not believe in me. That's the sin. Sins in the plural have been forgiven. Jesus died, Christ died for all the sins of all the world from the beginning of time to the end of time. There's nothing, no sin that hasn't been redeemed except one. Pastor brought it up last week when he was going through Matthew, and we did it when we were going through there's one unpardonable sin. When the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to you and you deny it. Deny it. It's evident. It's obvious. You know it's God, and you say, no, I don't want it. That sin will not be forgiven. That sin, singular, is going to send you to hell. Your sins are not going to send you to hell. Don't get me wrong. You reap what you sow. So if I'm doing something that I shouldn't be doing and I'm abusing my body, whether it be drugs, alcohol, smoking, or carousing, or whatever it may be, there's a price you're going to pay for that. But when the Holy Spirit convicts, there's a transformation. When I'm living my life and I'm motivated by the Holy Spirit to seek the Lord continually, grow continually, somewhere along the line, there's going to be conviction. That conviction from the Holy Spirit brings about transformation. I used to, the Holy Spirit said, don't, and I no longer do, because he did it in me and through me. That's true conviction. That's the only conviction that'll last forever. I know so many people, and I've done it myself in the past too many times, Lord, I'll never do that again. Yeah, right. And then, well, no, the next time I won't do it. I'm not going to do it. The more I did it. So many of God's people are in that place. If you realize that, don't make promises to God. He made a promise to you. We're not the doers, we're the receivers. The Holy Spirit's place in our lives is to show us Jesus. Concerning judgment, because the rule of verse 11, because the rule of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. That's such a tender statement. I take that as a kiss from the Lord. So many more things you want to tell me, Lord, but my capacity is not there yet. It's okay. I'll build that capacity little by little in my time and in my way. I'll take care of that. Many things I have to tell you. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own initiatives, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to show us Jesus. It's to teach us what Jesus is saying for us to hear. Back in chapter 12, we said that Jesus has a voice. And the true believers hear his voice, not the voice of a harlot. If we're living because God has given us the capacity to seek the Lord, and we want his life to be continued to live in us or through us and experience that, we rely totally upon the Holy Spirit. We don't rely upon ourselves. He's the one that guides us into all truth. Theologians don't guide us into all truth. Preachers don't guide us into all truth. Pastors don't guide us into all truth. Religious leaders don't guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. We need, and the emphasis should be on the Holy Spirit in our lives. What he's doing in us, what he's revealing through us, and what he plans to do through us. If I used to do this and I don't do it anymore, and I didn't make any effort, that was the Holy Spirit's ministry. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If I'm doing this and I continue to do this, thank you, Jesus. I don't have the capacity yet. There's things that you have yet not told me. In his time and in his way. So many of the assemblies and churches misunderstand the Spirit. And the difference in the lives of men and women and children and old folks and old folks, the difference is when your emphasis is on the Holy Spirit, there is freedom. That's the freedom. My conscience doesn't make me free. My conscience says, you rotten, dirty, no good for that. And I say, you're right. Thank you very much. That's how much he loves me. You see what I mean? But when the Holy Spirit is our emphasis, and the church relies on the Holy Spirit, not on their own human intellect, there's freedom with that. There's freedom. I fellowshiped with people yesterday, and I thank God for the freedom that the Holy Spirit gives us. Because I can be in as much bondage as those that I fellowship with yesterday, like this, if I don't keep getting reminded that it's no longer I that live, it's Christ living in me and through me. That Holy Spirit ministry, he's performing things through us. In all of eternity, we're going to get there and we're going to say, when did I do that? You did that for me. And those things we said, I know you use me, Lord. No, you got your reward already. If you know God is using you, and it's you that he's using, it's not eternal. But if you know that you're being used by him, and he's doing it through you, that's an eternal reward. And he, the Holy Spirit, this is the key, he shall glorify me. The Holy Spirit glorifies God, not man. No matter how much that man, woman, or person made a difference in your lives, the glory given by the Holy Spirit is to God alone. To God and God alone. To me, it's such a freedom to come and be dependent upon what he's saying. Not dependent upon what I'm saying. Because it wouldn't be freedom. It would be bondage. I got to share this morning. Am I going to say the right thing? Don't let me say the wrong. Really? That's not preaching. Preaching is relying on the Holy Spirit. Living is relying on the Holy Spirit. Freedom is walking in the revelation that he has given me individually. That's where our freedom lies. Our freedom doesn't lie, and Pastor Donor says it all the time, our freedom lies not from him, but in him. Our freedom is in him. That's where our freedom is. My freedom outside of in him is sinful. My freedom in him is rest, relax. In a sense, carefree. So if I'm dealing with things in my lives, and they're weighing me down, give them to the Lord. That's not the Lord. Because when the Lord brings conviction, there'll be transformation. Relax, rest, and lean totally upon the Holy Spirit. Jesus relied upon the Father. He was perfect. We're certainly not perfect. Who should we be relying on? The indwelling Holy Spirit. Because he's our teacher. He's going to show us. He's going to speak to us. Understand this, that it's progressive. There's many things that he has to show us, but we're not ready yet. He first gives us the capacity to receive. That can come through failure. It did in my life. My greatest capacity increases came through my greatest failures. When you fall, always remember, It's fall forward. Fall forward. Get back up again, because Romans 8:1, no condemnation. There isn't some condemnation. Oh, you knew better. You're condemned for that. No, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So sin is not the issue in our lives. Our relationship to the Father, through the Son, by the indwelling Holy Spirit, is the issue. As we make that the emphasis in our lives. In my prayer time, I say, Holy Spirit, put on my heart who you want me to pray for, who you don't want me to pray for. Sometimes I pray for people and I say, if they're alive. I don't even know if they're alive or not anymore. Sometimes it's someone I met that I can picture them in my mind, but I don't know their name. That's the Holy Spirit's ministry. It's quiet, it's unseen, but it has profound effects. Do I want profound effects in my life? No, I want quiet effects in my life so that God gets the glory, not man. And we'll finish with verse 15. And all these things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. He takes of mine. And everything the Father has is Jesus. Everything Jesus has is mine. Everything? Everything? Everything that's yours, Jesus, is mine? How can that be? Because he said it. Because do we experience it? We will. Glad and glorious day, we will. And we'll get to enjoy that throughout all of eternity. Remember, we have joy, his, not us. So we have sorrow and heartbreak in life. It's his joy, his rest, his plan and perfect, his plan, which is perfect, holy, and to us should be acceptable. We're blessed because we know the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Unlike many that we fellowship with, praise God for where they are and God's plan for their lives, but be grateful for the presence and the revelation and the teaching on the Holy Spirit that we receive here. With that said, let's bow our head and close our eyes. Father, thank you once again for all that you've spoken to each one of us today. I pray that the revelation of you that we received would affect our lives in such a personal way that our gratitude for all that you've done for us, for all that you continue to do for us, for your life that's present and resident within us, and your continued life, resurrected life, that is now living in us and through us. Open our eyes to the divine appointments you've set forth for us, and we give you and you alone the glory, honor, and praise. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.